Welcome and welcome back. If you're rejoining us, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn, your host for this next hour. Hope your Thursday afternoon is starting off well. Some breaking local news this afternoon, which I found to be just fascinating, and I wanted to start there. Do you remember this whole hubbub not too long ago about Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Dalich? She was scheduled to speak at an NAACP fundraiser last year. And there was some conservative backlash about that. And she ended up canceling her appearance. Well, as I like to say, Republicans seem to have a set of rules for me, meaning Republicans, and then a separate set of rules for thee, meaning Democrats. And that is playing out in the last 24 hours. This is reporting from Dan Bice of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It states in the Wisconsin Judicial Code of Conduct that a judge may not, quote, personally participate in the solicitation of funds or other fundraising activities, end quote, for charitable, political, whatever, anything that you want. Basically, if it's fundraising, you can't do that for other organizations because it looks like your independence is being put into question. But yesterday, Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice and hyperpartisan Rebecca Bradley was the featured speaker, not at like generical advocacy organization that someone can say has a liberal or conservative bend, you know, like the NAACP. No. She was the keynote speaker at the Republican National Lawyers Association in Madison. Wow. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. Her name and face, big smiling picture, was used on the Republican National Lawyers Association webpage advertising the event that included some huge buttons that said, donate now, join us, and advertised various, you know, sponsorships where you pay money to buy tables or have your company's logo affiliated with the event. Sure seems to me like that might run afoul of the old judicial conduct's code that says judges may not, quote, personally participate in the solicitation of funds or other fundraising activities. Now, you didn't have to pay to go to this event, but it wasn't just open to the public either. You had to RSVP. But the point was, they were selling sponsorships. I don't know. Does that seem like a solicitation of funds? It sure does to me. So how is this not a violation of the Judicial Code of Conduct? I just don't understand it. It defies the meaning of words as we generally understand them here in Wisconsin. Again, the website included a donate now button hyperlink next to her picture, and there were sponsorship packages that you could purchase from $500 to $2,500. So I just don't get it. I just do not get it. Now, according to Mark Belling, Rebecca Bradley is not likely to run for another 10-year term. She hasn't confirmed that, but I found this very fascinating. Here's the other little wrinkle here. It turns out that there is a linkage, if you will, that is very odd, very, very odd. And here it is. Once this became a point of investigation by Dan Bice, they actually took down the sponsorship section for the event. So they get called on it. Hey, you're not supposed to be doing this. Oh, well, just never mind those pesky sponsorships and our solicitation of funds. And they took down those things from their website, which, again, might sort of indicate that you probably shouldn't have been doing any of this. I think it's all just very, very strange. Now, the committee, this is the Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee in 1988. In other words, these are the folks that make sure judges are following the code of conduct, was asked back in, again, 1988, if a judge could even participate as a celebrity judge in a fundraising event for a charitable organization. And the answer was no. So if you can't even be a judge, I don't get how Justice Bradley gets to talk at the Republican National Lawyers Association meeting in Madison yesterday and not violate the code of conduct. I mean, this is pretty gross. And again, there's no question about Rebecca Bradley's political leanings. She was appointed to three different judicial jobs by former Republican Governor Scott Walker. In her 2016 campaign, the Republican Party of Wisconsin was her biggest donor. She attended the Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee, and she also went to after parties hosted by Grover Norquist, Americans for Tax Reform and Americans for Prosperity. And in 2023, Bradley administered the oath of office to the newly elected leaders of the Republican Women of Waukesha County. Okay. And here's the last little tiny factoid that makes this even more unseemly. The Wisconsin chair of the Republican National Lawyers Association is Lane Ruland, okay? Oh, guess who's the assistant treasurer of Bradley's campaign committee? Everyone together now, is that, yes, Lane Ruland. I don't get how any of this is okay. It shouldn't be okay for a left-leaning Supreme Court justice, and it wasn't. Rebecca Dallet dropped out of doing something that I think was less obviously in violation of the judicial code of conduct. But Bradley seems to relish in these sorts of violations. I just don't think this is all right. Mike Brown of A Better Wisconsin Together had this to say about it. It's no surprise Rebecca Bradley would toss aside ethics to fundraise for an outfit that brags about how closely they worked with Donald Trump's campaign. For her entire tenure on a court, she's been a shill for the right-wing extremists and special interests. I don't always agree with Dan Bice of the Journal Sentinel, but I absolutely agree with Dan Bice on this one. A right-wing shill? Yes, I should say so. And in other breaking news, there is this thing that happens in the reconciliation bill process. This is the big, brutal bill, right? Like, the House adopted a version of the reconciliation bill, and now it's with the Senate. There is this technical process that occurs when the Senate's parliamentarian has to review the legislation that the Senate is proposing to adopt as its version of the reconciliation bill. And the Senate's parliamentarian reviews it to make sure that it is about the budget. It has to be narrowly focused about the budget. You can't sort of change the law in other ways. You can't use the budget bill, in effect, to pass new legislation or materially alter other laws. Now, as we've been talking about the big, brutal bill for weeks and weeks and weeks, especially its extraordinarily destructive impacts here in the state of Wisconsin, we've been talking about serious policy changes. One of the biggest elements that the Republicans in the Senate were relying upon in order to pass and make the math work, sort of, kind of, even though it's exploding the deficit by trillions more, but to sort of make the math work, is that they relied upon reducing Medicaid costs, not just by cutting Medicaid for tens of millions of Americans, but by cracking down on, quote, what's called a state provider tax, a provision that was supposed to have a nearly nine-figure impact, that's hundreds of millions of dollars, on the bill. And again, this is a state provider tax. So if you were providing Medicaid-based or Medicaid-funded health services, there was going to be a tax, a state tax of some kind that Republicans were proposing. Now, here's what's important. The parliamentarian has concluded that they can't do that in the big, brutal bill. They can't backdoor in this new sort of legislative change, this policy change to how Medicaid works and how it is administered by states. That's a bridge too far, according to the Senate parliamentarian. That's a huge freaking problem because, again, it was worth hundreds of billions of dollars in that reconciliation plan. So the parliamentarian has said, that's a no-go. Now, in case you have been, you know, reading up on all the wonky parliamentarian decisions over the last week and a half, the Senate parliamentarian has also axed the prohibition of taxing this another sleight of hand that the Republicans in the House did relating to silencers that made it an easier and cheaper to buy silencers. They were doing this for sawed-off shotguns, if you can believe it. Yeah, that sounds like policy, doesn't it? So the parliamentarian has been slowly going through the Senate's version of the reconciliation bill and axing a whole gamut of things, including the provision that they tried to insert in the House's version that would have constrained federal court judges entering injunctions. This was the idea that if you sought an injunction or a contempt ruling, holding a party in violation of an injunction or another court order, that party would have to post a bond or an amount of money. They've struck that down. That was also a big area of angst for a lot of folks because it would have potentially constrained a federal court's ability to enter orders to maintain the status quo and punish parties who may violate those orders. So again, all of these things have been happening kind of in the wonk area of the Senate reconciliation bill. But this decision today is massive, and it appears that it has derailed the potential vote scheduled for tomorrow on the big, brutal bill in the Senate. Senator Kennedy, a Republican of Louisiana, says he believes that the vote on the big, brutal bill scheduled for tomorrow will now be postponed. They can't make the math because of this technical decision by the Senate's parliamentarian. I'm going to call this good news, everybody, and we're going to talk more about the impacts of the big, brutal bill here on Wisconsinites closer to home when we come back. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.